All right, so now what we're going to do is we're just have a summary of chapter 30. Chapter 30 is basically where Lee has already had four children out of chapter 29. And Rachel, not to be outdone, hands over her handmaid to Joseph, to Jacob, and says, "Take her. Two more children are born." Leah still says, not to be outdone, she hands her handmaiden off to Jacob, Zelpha, and she has two boys. Rachel is so desperate now, but Leah still has two boys and one girl before Rachel finally gives birth to her firstborn. Her firstborn is who?
Joseph.
Joseph, very good. So, after Joseph is born, Jacob asks Laban, "Hey, let me go. I want to go back home." But Laban convinces him to stick around. So Jacob devises a plan. He thinks it's a really cool plan to increase the herd, to get his payment so he can move on. But he thinks it's a super cool plan. But he doesn't realize, and which he will learn in this chapter, that God was in the middle of this. God is going to prosper him. It's not his cool plan that's going to prosper him. It's going to be God. Okay, before we get started, I just want to pause for a moment and just ask God's blessing. Father, we thank you for the life of Joseph, for the life of Jacob, and for all for the patriarchs and the example that they provide for us. They were sinful men. They were men whose faith wavered, whose faith I just don't believe that they totally trusted you initially. But as time went on, and as they got, and as you proved yourself to them, their faith grew stronger and stronger. And Father, I just pray that through these lessons, that our faith will grow stronger and stronger. And these things we ask in your precious name. Amen.
Amen.
So now here we are, 20 years later, starting in chapter 31, 20 years later. And he was originally just supposed to come just for a few months. He was just going to come, find himself a wife, and come back home again. Hopefully things would have settled down with Esau. But now, 20 years later, increased hostility with the Laban and his sons, who are now young adults. When he first came, there were no sons. There was just the two girls, Rachel and Leah. And that was it. There were no sons at the time when Jacob first appeared. So obviously, Laban had some boy. We don't know how many. It just said sons. 6 years ago, he tried leaving. It didn't work. So now, Jacob, son of Isaac, grandson of Abraham, heir to the promised land, but he has been absent for 20 years. Deep down, he knows this is not the way to grow his family. He doesn't belong here. They don't want him here. He knows God has something for him, but what and how will this play out? You know, I was rereading again this morning, and I go, that's us here. They don't want Christians here. They don't like Christians here. You know, throughout history, what's happened to us, to the Christians? They've been persecuted. They've been maligned. They've been burned at the stake. They have been almost everything we can imagine. And so as I wrote this out on this introduction on Friday, and all of a sudden this morning, it just struck me that Jacob's life with Laban is like our life here on earth. They don't want us here. They don't like us here. So, here we go. Genesis chapter 31. Jealousy of Laban's son. Now, we're going to read the entire the entire chapter. I'm not going to read the whole thing through at one sitting. We're going to read through it. We'll have some comments. And as usual, if you have a question, raise your hand. If you have a comment, raise your hand. Just keep it pertinent. Don't ask me about the political environment. Just keep it pertinent to the story. Because if you ask me about the political environment, I might want to answer, and then we'll get really sidetracked. Okay, so jealousy of Laban's sons. Jacob heard that Laban's sons were saying, "Jacob has taken everything our father has owned and has gained all his wealth from what belonged to our father." And Jacob noticed that Laban's attitude towards him was not what it had been. Then the Lord said to Jacob, "Go back to the land of your fathers and your relatives, and I will be with you." You know, sometimes our countenance, have you ever spoken to somebody or they've spoken to you and you just know there's animosity? You know, they may be real nice or they may be thinking that they're really nice, but there's just animosity. And I'm sure this is what Jacob was sensing from Laban. Obviously, when he overheard the boys saying, "Hey, you've taken everything." Obviously, they did not know about or didn't understand the contract that he had with Laban. But still, Laban, every time he turns around, Jacob is succeeding. He's getting ticked. He's getting really ticked. So Laban and his son's attitude were making it easier and easier for him to leave. So when God intervened, he said, "You know what? You're right. It's time to get out of Dodge. Time to get out of here. So what happened? Jacob confides in his wives. Now, I don't recommend this, gentlemen. Do not confide in your wives. Confide in your wife, but not your wives, okay? So Jacob sent word to Rachel and Leah to come out to the fields where his flocks were. And he said to them, "I see that your father's attitude towards me is not what it was before, but the God of my father has been with me. You know that I've worked for your father with all my strength, yet your father has cheated me by changing my wages 10 times. However, God has not allowed him to harm me. If he said, 'The speckled ones will be your wages,' then the flocks gave birth to speckled young. And if he said, 'The streaked ones will be your wages,' then the flocks bore streaked ones. So God has taken away your father's livestock and has given them to me. In breeding season, I once had a dream in which I looked up and I saw the male goats mating with the flock with streaked, speckled, and spotted. The angel of God said to me, 'Jacob,' and I answered, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Look up and see that the male goats mating with the flock are streaked, speckled, or spotted, for I have seen all that Laban has been doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now leave this land and go back to your native land.'" Now, the one translation I was using, it said, "Leave this land at once." I could only find that in one translation. All the other translations that I looked through did not have that "at once." So, because remember, he's reflecting back. He says, "In breeding season, I once had a dream." So I don't think he was talking about a current dream. And if that's the case, the other translations would make more sense, that God was now preparing him to leave. Yes?
I've got the NIV, and it says that in here.
That's the one. That's the only one I could find it in.
The NASB says, "Now arise." It's almost as if it...
Yeah. So it's... it's hard to see where Jacob was coming from, because when it starts out, "In breeding season," okay, what's the in breeding season? And then he says, "I once had a dream where God told me to get up and leave at once." Well, he did. If that's the case, he didn't do that. So never let, Jacob sent for his wives. He needed their buy-in. He needed their buy-in. So Jacob, he laid out, as we saw, he laid out this eloquent speech to convince them so that after 20 years they would continue. So after 20 years, would they continue with Laban or would they go with Jacob? What was their choice? Stay with Laban, come with me. Remember, Daddy uses people and he's using you. I don't think Laban ever realized his children were grown up. He wanted to control them. So looking back, you know, I have seen families where mom and dad are still controlling their 30-year-old child. That's not back here, is it? Okay, good. So is this what Laban was doing? Yeah, he seemed like a real control freak. He wanted to control everything. So there's a lesson, I think, in here for us about controlling our family. When our children are grown, we got to let go. We got to let go. Sometimes it's difficult, you know, because we see our 22-year-old, God, you're making stupid mistakes. But, you know, sometimes they have that stupid tax they got to pay. And that's the only way we can learn. You know, because how many times do you learn from doing things right, but you really, really learn it when you do it wrong? You know, when you make a mistake and you realize you made a mistake, that sticks with you. You know, as a technician, there's so many times I fix something the first time, no problem. I come back to it 6 months later, I don't remember. What did I do to fix it? But if I broke it, or if I, those things tend to stick with me because I had to do some extra digging, extra work, extra, just work a little bit harder on it. Now it sticks.
I would just say, that's especially true if we realize we did something wrong.
Yes.
And I think one of the challenges is sometimes we're doing things wrong and we don't realize it. So you kind of got to realize it to be able to really learn from it.
Right, right. And, you know, and I don't think Laban ever came to, and as I think we'll find out, he never came to that conclusion.
Right.
He did everything right in his own eyes. And that's the thing. We have to be open. So if your boys, your daughter comes to you and say, Mom, Dad, let go, listen to them. Listen to them. Think back. So Rachel concern, now we're getting into verse 14. And Rachel concern drives a courageous act. And this title, I call this Not on My Watch. And we're going to go into it a little bit further towards the end as to why did I come up with that crazy title. Then Rachel and Leah replied, "Do we still have a share in the inheritance of our father's estate? Does he not regard us as foreigners? Not only has he sold us, but he has used up what was paid for us. Surely all the wealth that God took away from our father belongs to us and our children. Do whatever God has told you." Okay, Jacob just got buy-in. His wife said, "Let's do it." Then Jacob put his children and his wives on camels, and he drove all his livestock ahead of him, along with all the goods that he had accumulated in Paddan Aram, to go to his father Isaac in the land of Canaan. When Laban had gone to shear his sheep, Rachel stole her father's household gods. Moreover, Jacob deceived Laban the Aramean by not telling him he was running away. So he fled with all he had, crossing the river. He headed for the hill country of Gilead. So now, Jacob sought the approval, got the approval, Jacob's treatment of his wives versus Laban's treatment of his daughters was really a no-brainer for them to decide where to go. And so a little side note, you know, if we treat, gentlemen, us men, we treat our wives like the precious gift they are to us, they're going to follow us anywhere. They'll live with us in a pup tent. But we got to do the right thing. We treat them the precious gift that God has given us. And for those parents who are raising young girls, make sure they find a man who will do that. That he will treat your daughter like the precious gift that she is. Now, why did Rachel steal the household gods? We're going to go a little bit further into that when we get to verse 34. So, now what happens? Laban begins to pursue Jacob. God intercedes. We're going to ask a question. I want you to think about this as we're going along. If Rachel had not stolen the household gods, would Laban have pursued them? Okay, so now, here we are. On the third day, this is verse 22. On the third day, Laban was told that Jacob had fled. Taking his relatives with him, he pursued Jacob for 7 days and caught up with him in the hill country of Gilead. Then God came to Laban, the Aramean. In a dream at night, and he said to him, "Be careful not to say anything to Jacob, neither good nor bad." Jacob had pitched his tent in the hill country of Gilead, where Laban overtook him. Now we're going to... Can you see that map okay?
No.
It didn't turn out as well. It looked really cool on there. But we'll point out a couple of things here. Jacob had pitched his tent in the hill country of Gilead, where Laban overtook him, and Laban and his relatives camped there too. Then Laban said to Jacob, "What have you done? You've deceived me. You have carried off my daughters like captives in war." Boy, how dramatic, huh? Like captives in war. While you pursued him like he was. "Why did you run off secretly and deceive me? Why didn't you tell me so I could have sent away with joy and singing and music of tambourines and harps?" Oh, world's smallest violin, right? Guys, try and play the sympathy card. "Why didn't you even let me kiss my grandchildren goodbye and my daughters goodbye? You have done a foolish thing. I have the power to harm you, but last night the God of your father said to me, 'Be careful not to say anything to Jacob, neither good nor bad.' Now you have gone off because you long to return to your father's house." Here's the kicker. "But why did you steal my gods?" Laban's true reason for coming after them: "I want my idols back. All the rest, I believe, was for show." He wanted his idols back. Now, I just thought it was interesting where Paddan Aram is up here. This is the trail they suspect that they came down. This green, is it green back there? It's really green on my computer screen. And here's Damascus. And there are two Mizpah. There are two of them that I found on the map. One was just below Damascus, and the other one was right here down where, by the Jordan Valley. So, which one it is, I don't know. I'm thinking more, this is about 300 miles right here. And the fact that it took Laban 7 days to catch up,
He was honking.
Pardon me?
He was running.
Well, but how about Jacob? And I mean, Jacob was taken. How many herd? You know, his livestock. I mean, he gave 500 of them away when he met Esau, 500 plus. So you know he had to have over 1,000. So not only did he have to, that takes time. So took 7 days, but I don't. I think somehow logistically it can be worked out, because it took 7 days from the time Laban finally left. But how? So you can drive yourself crazy trying to figure out exactly how long it takes. Because how long would it take? You know, a cattle drive. You know, they used to cattle drives all the time. And how long did that take? It took quite a while. You know, to get. So now he's moving children, his household, his servants, his slaves, and over 1,000 head of livestock had to be moved. So now here we are. Laban's true reason has come. I want my idols back. Jacob answered Laban. Not yet. Okay. Jacob answered Laban, I was afraid because I thought you would take your daughters away from me by force. But if you find anyone who has your gods, he shall not live. In the presence of our relatives, see for yourself whether there is anything of yours here with me. And if so, take it. Now Jacob did not know that Rachel had stolen the gods. So Laban went into Jacob's tent and into Leah's tent and into the tent of the two maidservants, but found nothing. After he came out of Leah's tent, he entered into Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the household gods, but had put them inside her camel's saddle and was sitting upon them. Laban searched through everything in the tent and found nothing. But Rachel said to her father, "Don't be angry, my lord, that I cannot get up, that I cannot stand up in your presence. I'm having my period." So that's you know, a group of guys, I could do that. We got a mixed crowd here. So he searched and he could not find the household gods. So in this culture, I guess when Papa walks in, women got to stand. So right off the bat, you're saying, "Don't be angry. Don't be angry. I can't get up." You know, there's no might all in this time. So she had to. And whether she even was in that time, don't know. We don't know that for sure. We have to take it at her word. So just a little side note here. If your gods can be stolen, if your gods can be sat upon, if your gods can be tucked away, what kind of a God is that?
That is a good point.
So, but do we have our little gods? Our work, our profession, our toys, our wealth, all of that can disappear in a flash. So, why did Rachel take the household gods? Well, there's a couple of theories here. Possession of the household gods implied leadership of the family. This assured her husband the right to the property. So, as we can see in verse 14, they were concerned about their share of the inheritance. So, was that the reason? I want to look at another reason. And this goes back to Genesis chapter 30, verse 26. This is when they first tried to leave. When Jacob went to Laban and said, "Let me go. My last Rachel just gave birth to her first child. I want to go do something for my family. I want to return. But Laban, now, here we are in verse 26. But Laban said to him, if it pleases you, stay with me. I have divined. What is divined? Divination, witchcraft. You know, so I have divined that the Lord has blessed me on your account. He continued, name your wages and I will give it. Okay, so what was she thinking? Is he going to use the household gods? I mean, she saw him, Laban, through her entire childhood, probably consulting the household gods. We don't know what kind of answers he got. But she saw him consulting them, and she was concerned that, okay, we get out of here. He's going to consult the household gods. He's going to find out which way we're going. I don't want a repeat of 6 years ago. 6 years ago, he divined something, and he convinced Jacob to stay. And we had to stick around an additional 6 years. I don't want that happening. Was that going through her mind? Don't know. Scripture's not clear on this. All we can pull out is, okay, we can look at the historical records of what the culture was. And then after some reading, looking back at chapter 30, mixing these two up, I go, ugh, could that be the reason? Mama was looking out for the family. Now, how cool is that? Mama was watching out for the family and seeing, I don't want to do another 6 years. We have a chance to get out of here. So if I take these things with me, Papa can't use them. And there's no record of her doing anything with these household gods. It's not like she wanted them for herself. She just didn't want Laban to use them. Because what happened, I think in the next chapter or two, Jacob buries all the idols and stuff. So I'm sure they went along with it. Did Jacob ever know that Rachel stole the household gods? I don't know. We don't know. When Jacob dug a hole and said, everybody, throw your idols and junk in here, she could have snuck in there and thrown them all in. We don't know. But she did not use them. She did not sell them. She most likely buried them with all the rest of the idols when the time came. So, the repeat was avoided. And now we get to Jacob. Finally, enough is enough. Jacob was angry and took Laban to task. Finally, Jacob, what is my crime, he asked Laban. What sin have I committed that you hunt me down? Now that you have searched through all my goods, what have you found that belongs to your household? Put it here in front of your relatives and mine, and let them judge between the two of us. I have been with you for 20 years. Your sheep and your goats have not miscarried, nor have I eaten ram from your flock. I did not bring your animals torn by wild beasts. I bore the loss myself. And you demanded payment from me for whatever was stolen by day or night. This was my situation. The heat consumed me in the daytime and the cold at night. My sleep fled from my eyes. It was like this for 20 years. I was in your household. I worked for you for 14 years for your daughters, 6 years for your flocks, and you changed my wages 10 times. If the God of my father and the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac had not been with you, you surely would have sent me away empty-handed. But God has seen my hardship and the toil of my hands, and last night he rebuked you. Is that righteous indignation? I don't know if I had the same enthusiasm that Jacob probably had. I'm sure I didn't. But finally, he speaks up. He speaks up. 14 years, 6 years for the flocks. You changed my wages 10 times. So what was happening? All of a sudden, Laban says, oh, we agreed to speckled ones. You know what? Let's make them striped. From now on, you get striped ones. All of a sudden, striped ones started coming up. Oh, never mind, never mind. Let's change it to speckled. Speckled ones come out. Oh, shoot. That one didn't work. All right, we're back. We're back to spotted ones. Let's go back to spotted ones. Oh, spotted ones again. Can't. I just can't win. So every time he turned around, Jacob, or Laban, was changing the negotiating terms. So, now, imagine, this was not just between him and Laban. I'm sure all the relatives, the servants, everybody was around. So imagine you being in the crowd, kind of knowing Jacob, kind of being, he was probably a soft-spoken kind of guy. Their jaws probably fell to the floor, their eyes popped wide open, and they go, I think, it's about time. It's about time you stand up for yourself. Now, Laban has his opportunity to rebuke, and Laban answered Jacob, the women are my daughters, the children are my children, and the flocks are my flocks. All you see is mine, yet what can I do? What can I do today about these daughters of mine? Or about the children they have born. Come now, let us make a covenant, you and I, and let it serve as a witness between us. So Jacob took a stone and set up a pillar. He said to his relatives, gather some stones so they took stones. You see right here, these guys are working really hard setting up a pillar here. They gathered some stones, so they took stones and piled them in a heap, and they ate there by the heap, and Laban called it Jigger Zehadutha, and Jacob called it Gilead. And Laban said, the heap is a witness between you and me that this is why it was called Gilead. Now, one used the Hebrew term, one used the Aramaic term. And that's how we got two different, but they both mean the same thing. It means a heap or a witness. And this is why it's called Gilead, which is also called Mizpah. Mizpah is what we saw on the map. Because he said, may the Lord keep watch between you and me when we are away from each other. If you mistreat my daughters, or if you take any wives besides my daughters, even though no one is with us, remember that God is a witness between you and me. Laban also said to Jacob, there is a heap, and here is the pillar I have set up between you and me. The heap is a witness, and this pillar is a witness, that I will not go past this heap to your side to harm you, and you will not go past this heap and this pillar on my side to harm me. May the God of Abraham and the God of Nahor and the God of your father judge between us. So Jacob took an oath in the name of his father. He offered a sacrifice there, and in the hill country, he invited his relatives to a meal. After they had eaten, they spent the night there. Early the next morning, Laban kissed his grandchildren and his daughters, blessed them, and left and returned home. It's the end of chapter 31. Laban was never heard from or mentioned again. And you know, how sad. I think all it would have taken repentance on his part. He said, you know, guys, I really screwed up here. Forgive me. You know, sometimes that's all it takes in a family to heal a family. Just somebody speak up So in this chapter, we see how God guided Jacob and protected Jacob. The lesson here is, I think, the one who experiences the blessing of God and obediently follows his call may be confident in God's protection. Jacob was revealed in a good light in this chapter. Laban, not so. So, Laban's years that Jacob spent with him were full of deception, dishonesty, animosity, fear, retaliation. But finally, God spoke to both in order to bring about separation. And God was invoked to watch between them. And that's what the pillar was. That was a pillar. That pillar was to represent God's intervention in separating the two. Because there was no changing Laban's heart. His heart was hardened. Now, for those of you who have your notes, a couple of things we can glean from this. That clock's right. Okay. All right, so we have a little bit of time here. Principles for discerning God's guidance. And we can apply this, I think, to each and every one of us. Jacob had a desire. Circumstances necessitated a change. God's word came to him strongly. And there was confirming support from his wives. I had a case 28 years ago when we moved out here. You know, we thought we'd be in North Hollywood for who knows how long. When we first moved there, there was a nice neighborhood. The church we went to was 3 miles away. It was like Dick's Old Church. And I went there shortly after I was saved. Patty got saved there. It was a great fellowship. But things began to happen in the neighborhood. Our desires began to change. Circumstances began to change. And we affirmed each other that we need to do something. Come to find out, several years later, the kids that my boys hung out with are now spending life in jail because they killed someone. Could my boys have been involved with that? Could they have been with them when it happened? Had they stayed there? Yeah, that's a possibility, because that was the kids he hung around. So God took us out of a situation that, I'm going to say, saved the family. God took Jacob out of a situation that saved his family. So, what are we to do? Leave a legacy of God, not greed. What did Laban's boys see? Mine, 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 mine. That's what they saw. They saw Daddy. Everything was his. So what did they pick up? Everything is theirs. Mine, mine, mine. Greedy parents raise greedy kids. Where your treasure is, what's it say? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Laban's treasure was in his things. People are created to be loved. Things were created to be used. When we turn that around, what happens? We love things and use people. It doesn't work so well. Integrity. That's our best defense. Our integrity is measured by who we are when no one's watching.
reminder is that somebody's always watching, meaning God.
Yes, yeah.
And, yeah.
And every home needs some righteous anger. How many of you have blown up at your wife or at your kids? Come on, be honest. Come on, okay.
I haven't, but I've seen.
And you know what? What are the attributes of God? Number one is what? Love? Number two is anger. You know, there's nothing wrong with righteous anger. That's what we saw from Jacob. He was ticked. He finally had the opportunity to explode. But he did it correctly. When we rebuke our children, when we have when your wife has to talk to you, she will speak with you, hopefully with respect, but do it correctly. Right, Shirley?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I'm sure Dave needs a lot of rebuking.
Roger's never seen me angry, but David has. David's seen the really bad.
Okay, David, now the question is, was she angry with you?
David has. And it wasn't actually righteous anger.
And you know what? That happens. You know, so, but righteous anger, so we get mad at the right things and we respond the right way. Now, I just have one godly moms, because I think the hero of the story was Rachel. We talked about what she did in stealing the household gods. If the theory is correct, she did this to protect the family at possible great risk to herself. She had no idea that Jacob was going to say, yeah, if you find him, you can kill the person who's got him. She had no idea that was going to happen. But nevertheless, she took a great risk. So when we see the mom who speaks up and says, no, you're not going there. You're not going to see that movie. You're not going to hang out with those kids. You're not doing that on my watch. I'm responsible for you. You will not do that. That's what we saw Rachel. She was protecting her family. And so now we empower our family by faith. And when the children see the faith of mom and dad, they will inherit that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Father, we thank you for your blessings and for this lesson. Now just pray that our hearts be softened to what you will have to teach us in the next service. And these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.